today's news.
Hello again, and welcome to Old News, the programme and podcast which looks at news stories of the day through the papers of yesterday. The last of our little summer series of glimpses into the wonderful Here Is the News chronicle of the 20th century. So rather than rummaging through the papers, just taking a look at some individual years and some interesting stories of an old news calibre, as they say. 1921, I was looking at in this particular instance, an alarming drop in population figures, we're told. Figures resulting from this year's census shows a further drop in the island's population. It has sent alarm bells ringing in government circles. I think it still is. We have this report. The latest population figure of 49,078 is the lowest since the middle of the last century, when the island recovered from the major emigrations of the 1820s and 1830s. From 1850 onwards, the population had grown to around 55,000, which is only 30,000 less than it is now, thereabouts, isn't it? It even held reasonably firm at the start of this century, the article goes on, despite further emigration encouraged by newspaper columns full of advice to would-be emigrants. Now, however, it has declined by another 3,000 since the 1911 census, when the population was 52,016, a fall of 5.4%. The male population has dropped to 22,127, a drop of 7.7%, which can partly be accounted for by the heavy casualties suffered during the last war. Tragically, I'm sure that's true. The female population stands at 27,106, a fall of 3.5%. The reasons for the decrease in the population are not hard to find. Dramatic falls in the parishes of Patrick and Lonnon reflect the savage effects of the decline in the mining industries of those areas. Other calamities have exacerbated the employment situation. During the year, nearly 300 jobs have been lost through disastrous fires which destroyed the Laxey flour mills and the Manx Industries factory at Castle Hill Douglas. Add to these the depressing problem of winter unemployment, when the summer demands of the visiting industry leave a surplus of manpower unable to find work at the end of September. Islands in this modern era seem, perhaps, inevitably, to export their children and young people. All the more reason they should be properly educated and trained so they can hold their own when venturing into the world beyond. Wise words there, it has to be said, and issues which went on for quite some time, didn't it, with children even in my era growing up, and you either stayed on the Isle of Man and went to work for a bank, or you carried on and did your O and A levels, and then chances are went to university or polytechnic, maybe never to return. Also in 1921, a threat to the TT races, we read from Terry Kringle, I dare say his pen. This year's TT races were jeopardised by the coal strike in Britain. The strike forced the steam packet company to reduce sailings at the beginning of the season to one on alternate days. It looked as though the races would have to be cancelled, but this was averted by the company using expensively purchased continental coal to restore services. Since then, the Autocycle Union threatened to move the TT to Belgium. It said the move would attract more continental riders, and the Belgium government had offered support. There was discontent also about profiteering and poor facilities on the island. I wonder if that's still thought true. Many minds were exercised over the matter, but it was a deputation from Douglas Town Council with their spokesman, Mr. George Brown of the Alman Times and local representative of the ACU, who solved the crisis. A shocking piece also. Eight-year-old birched. The birch, of course, well, certainly in use in my youth, but I don't think anyone that age would be birched then. And in 1921, well, it did happen, but it did cause some outcry. There's been great public outcry over the harshness of a sentence of four strokes of the birch imposed by the High Bailiff on an eight-year-old boy who stole bread from a Douglas bakery. The House of Keys asked the Lieutenant Governor, Major General Sir William Fry, to intervene. Sir William said he was powerless to act. The punishment had already been meted out anyway. The Keys then asked the Lieutenant Governor to set up a commission of inquiry into the high cost of bread and other necessities of life in the island. MHKs have also decided they should be paid. They are to get £50 a year and £10 travelling expenses for carrying out their public duties. Yes, of course, prior to that, MHKs weren't paid. Something perhaps a lot of people today believe should hold true now, when clearly they do get paid for their time. Another shocking piece in 1921 about a Manx murder. I mean, sadly, they do happen on the Isle of Man, but pretty rare, to be honest. In 1921, though, a Belgian commercial traveller, 48-year-old Edouard Bram, has been charged with the murder in Liverpool of a Manx woman, 37-year-old waitress Mary Clark, formerly of Jerby. Her naked and mutilated body was found in a lodging house bedroom occupied by Bram, who was staying in Liverpool while selling ladies' underwear. Her family still live at Jerby. She left the island in 1913 after being convicted on charges of immorality, and she was said to have lived a life of depravity in Liverpool. Bram's trial will take place in Belgium next year. The King Ory was stranded. The steam packet company, vessel King Ory, famous for leading the German high seas fleet into captivity at Scapa Flow in 1918, went aground with 1,300 holidaymakers on board in thick fog in the Mersey. She narrowly avoided a terrible disaster. She missed the rocks and the Perch Rock Lighthouse at New Brighton by around 10 yards. The ship was left high and dry by the falling tide, enabling many passengers to disembark by climbing down fire brigade ladders. No one was hurt. Something of a miracle, you would think. And Sunday drinking was banned in 1921. The day of the bona fide traveller, the only person able to get a drink in a Manx public house on a Sunday, is over. A bill passed by the House of Keys outlaws the practice. Members heard that drinkers of Douglas would travel just enough of a distance outside the town and then make a nuisance of themselves in country pubs by claiming their right to drink. The bill also imposes statutory opening and closing hours on shops in the Isle of Man for the first time. Would you believe it? And finally, from 1921, war hero released. Great war hero Captain Thomas William Nelson, MC, has been released on licence from the Isle of Man's prison, where he was serving a six-month sentence for burglary. His tragic story was revealed in the Court of General Jail. When war broke out in 1914, he was a humble 17-year-old carter in Douglas. He volunteered, was commissioned in the field, rose to the rank of captain, and won his military cross on the Western Front. Very brave man then. But on returning to his native Ireland, he could find no work and began drinking and turned to crime. Money has been raised by public subscription to give Captain Nelson a new life in America. I wonder what happened to him. Perhaps you know. If you do, get in touch, howardcaine@maxradio.com. Maybe we could feature it on a future programme. It'd be interesting to know, wouldn't it? Either way, hopefully he lived the life he deserved after serving so bravely for his country. And then, as is often the case, I don't think he was alone, after coming out of the services, struggling to find his way in life. Whichever way you look at it, all these stories, of course, are old news. Until next week. Cheerio. You're gonna be yesterday's news.